Amen. Before I begin preaching, I cannot start, but first I want to thank my pastor and his precious wife for him seeing something in me that I didn't even see in myself. I didn't understand the whole story of Paul and Timothy till I met my Paul. And he took me in, he loved me. Told me to begin like this, he said, "What do you know?" I said, "Preacher, all I know is that I'm saved." He said, "That's all I want you to preach. Preach to the people what happened to you." So boy, he got me off on the right foot. Now that's all I do. I just tell people what happened to me. That's all I know to do. And he said, "What you know about Jesus, preach it real loud." So boy, I tell you, I appreciate my pastor, pastor's wife. I appreciate the assistant pastor and his wife here. The Lord, that I just want to tell Brother Mike in front of the congregation, I appreciate you helping my pastor and appreciate your wife, the load that y'all got to carry in a large church. And I'm going to begin my Bible reading and take my text from Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, if you find your place in Acts chapter 20. And verse number 19 is where I'm going to be taking my reading from and text from. I'm going to find me a title in there somewhere. I ain't got all that figured out yet. Titles and alliteration. In Acts chapter 20. When you're in Acts chapter 20, verse number 19, you give me a good amen. In Acts chapter 20, verse number 19, the Bible says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears." I want to tell you something just for a stop and take a commercial break. Ministry has a way of bringing you into tears. And he says, "With many tears and temptations which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." We started in the house. Pastor started in the house. I'm glad the Lord will visit you and make house calls. In verse number 21, he said, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bond in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Verse number 24, the Bible says, "But," I like this, you ought to underline this, he says, "but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Tonight, this is going to be my title, "But none of these things move me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, Lord, that is still relevant in the day and age we live. Lord, I want to thank you for a King James Bible. I want to thank you, Lord, for Liberty Baptist Church and the Lighthouse, the altar, Bowden Church. I want to thank you, Lord, for a church that don't talk about it, but a church that does it, Lord, that helps missionaries and preachers, Lord, to get to anything that furthers the gospel. Lord, I want to thank you for a church that still stands in these last days. Lord, go with us now. Help us and do a work in our lives that only you can do. I pray, Lord, that the Word of God would not only challenge our heart, but Lord, that it would charge our heart and do a work that only you can do. Well, thank you and praise you for us in Jesus' name that we do pray. And all the Lord's people said, you may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Here in our text, I want to start off in verse number 23 of Acts chapter 20. Paul said, "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now, the Holy Ghost Himself is telling Paul, Paul, they waiting to beat you. They waiting to put you in jail, waiting to put you in bonds for you doing, talking about all that Jesus, all that preaching that you got in mind to do. Every city you go, Paul, you're going to have afflictions. You're going to have turmoil. You're going to have temptations. People are just going to want to try to hurt you and try to get you out of the ministry. Paul had a preach way down deep. He said this, I know you're right. The Holy Ghost don't lie. But he said, but none of these things move me. But I know I have a mountain, but my God is greater than that mountain. And sometimes you and I need to realize that instead of telling God how big our mountain is, we need to look at our mountain and say, look how big our God is. I'm glad our God could take that mountain and just make it into a little pebble. Boy, what a great God we serve. But Paul said, none of these things move me. He said, neither come I my life dear unto myself that I might finish my course with Job. He reminded me of Job, where Job says in the Word of God that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And that's the kind of faith that Paul had. He said, I know I'm going to face troubles and trials in the ministry. And he said, I know I'm going to be in bonds and go through struggles. But he says, but none of these things move me. And in the day and age you and I live in, there's so many Christians get discouraged over itty bitty things, but you and I need to be like Paul, say, hey, I know they're going to talk about me. I know they're going to put me down. I know I ain't the best of nothing, but I want to tell you, none of these things are going to move me, because I got over the fact that I don't do anything for them. I do it for Him, and serving Him is enough. Paul said, but none of these things move me. When I came across that portion of Scripture, that just sent a charge to my heart. Because, you know, let's be honest, nobody likes to be talked about. Hey, we all want to be loved. You know, I tell my people down where we're from, you know, that's why they got even motorcycle gangs. And they got clubs that you can get in. Because everybody wanted to be accepted. Everybody wanted to be a part of something. Everybody wants to be loved. But I found this out when I read that Bible. I'm already loved and I'm already accepted. Thank God for a crowd. I like to be in the crowd that loves Jesus. But He told me He loved me. He said, when I was a sinner, He still went to the cross and died for me. Now that's love. And boy, Pastor was getting on it this morning. About the marriage, boy, when him and Sister Nate fell in love, he went tell everybody. And boy, when I fell in love with Jesus, I can't keep my mouth shut about it. I'm just like blind Bartimaeus. If somebody try to cover my mouth while I'm telling you, I'm going to bite their finger. And I got to get it out. I got to tell somebody about Jesus. Hey, Jesus has been the best thing that ever happened to me. You're not looking at a depressed person. You're looking at an impressed person. I'm impressed with the love Jesus has for this old sinner. Romans 5:8, but God commended His love toward us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, that day you and I wasn't even thinking about Him, He was thinking about us. When you and I didn't want nothing to do with Him, He still wanted something to do with us. And boy, I thank God, grace was God reaching towards us. You and I never came to the fact where we ran toward God. It was always God running towards us. We ain't got that good enough in us to run towards God. It was always God putting caution blocks, speed bumps, caution lights, and stop signs in the way, trying to get our mind focused on Him. He said, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Ephesians 5:25 says this. That's how God loves the sinner, but He talks about how He loved the church. Ephesians 5:25, but Christ loved the church and gave Himself up. He says this, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe a husband ought to be willing to lay down their life every day for their wife. Now, I'm just a young preacher, probably still a novice. But to me, Romans 5:8 and Ephesians 5:25 shake hands with each other. He said, even while you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even when that spouse ain't doing what he or she ought to do, still love him. None of these things move me. And being in church, you know, we were talking about this today at the table, you're still going to have trouble. Still going to have marital problems. But I find, and I got to brag on Jesus, my troubles are way different. My language is way different. Before me and my wife, before my wife was saved, and I was saved but living like a devil, did things that would make the devil blush. And we used to cuss each other out lower than a dog. I mean, talk about some ugly things to each other. Since 2004, we surrendered our life over to the Lord. My wife got saved. I want to brag on Jesus. We never cursed each other out, Lord and the dog, since 2004. Never did that. I found this out. Even though we still have trouble in our marriages in church, I find God giving grace. I could take more now than I ever could take out in the world. He's giving me some patience, believe it or not. I could put up with some things that I never could have put up with before. Because he said I ought to love her. Even when she ain't on her best behavior. And wives, same thing for you. Even when he ain't on his best behavior, you ought to love him. You know why I'm so in love with Jesus? When I mess up, and we all mess up, let's be honest, we all mess up. He don't kick me to the curb. He doesn't put me down. But what he does, he loves me. He just encouraged me to get back up and go for him again. Oh, he's faithful. He's faithful. I don't know where that come from, but it was there to let it out. I ain't going home with nothing. I got to preach it out. Our marriages, you know, the easiest thing to do is throw in the towel and walk away. But if we don't fight for our marriage, this younger generation ain't going to fight for their marriage. And you know what's sad? Back in the day, they had more divorce rates in the world. But I think the church has caught up. The church has caught up. You know why? Because nobody want to talk about it. Hey, this is probably preaching to the choir. This is the wrong church to be preaching this to. But we all come and we want to put on a facade, fake that trouble that ain't even going on in our life. I want to tell you something. You ain't got to take it to people. Take it to the altar. Take it to Jesus. You know, maybe he or she is ignoring you because you are ignoring him. Instead of talking to your girlfriend or boyfriend about it, why don't you talk to him about it? I don't know, but Paul said, but none of these things move me. I'm staying on the course that Jesus had called me to try. I read a book. I didn't read the whole book. Just read a couple pages of the book. About the lone survivor. Marcus Luttrell. He was a Navy SEAL. And Marcus Luttrell, being in the Navy SEAL, you don't volunteer to be a Navy SEAL. They pick you if they see something in you. And they saw something in Marcus Luttrell. So they got him and a group of guys to try out for the Navy SEALs. They just went through this strenuous training to see if they will make the cut. So they got this group of guys together, and about day three, they had them rafting in 60-degree weather. 60-degree weather, rafting, water just coming over them like to freeze to death. And Marcus Luttrell, he began to talk about this muscle-bound guy, because he wasn't really muscle-bound. He said, now, this guy, you just knew by looking at him, he was going to make the cut. But he said, on day three, he could see the big muscle-bound guy. He could see the big muscle-bound guy. And in the training, this is what they said. They said, no questions asked. If you decide that you want to give up, throw in the towel, all you got to do is walk to that bell and ring it. No questions asked. All we're going to do, we're going to take you to a nice warm shower. We're going to have you the best meal, any meal that you want. We ain't going to be talked about. If you go and ring that bell, all we're going to do is grab you and take you to a warm shower and feed you. That's it. He said on day three, that big old muscle-bound guy that he knew, he just knew he would have made the cut, being a Navy SEAL. He started heading towards that bell. Marcus Luttrell said, sir, he told the instructor, said, let me talk to him. I could change his mind. He said, no, you can't. He said, that guy done made up his mind. He said, once it's put in your mind to go and ring this bell, he said, you may talk him into for a little while, but once it's set in his mind to go ring the bell, it's done. It's set. He ain't turning away from it. He's always going to go back to wanting to quit. And that's what brought me thinking about Paul, how he didn't quit. And Marcus Luttrell, just, he seen that guy, thought he would have made the cut, and didn't. The training was for 7 days. Marcus Luttrell wound up making the cut. True story. Lone survivor. They get dropped off, him and 20 guys, against 150 Talibans. And out of the 20 guys, Marcus Luttrell was the only one to survive. He got shot trying to help his brothers. They call it a brotherhood in the Navy SEALs. Trying to help them be the doctor. Doctor Mo carried him for so many miles. They said Marcus Luttrell fell off the mountain, broke his leg, running on broken bones. He was telling his mind, he says, I know you want to quit, but you're not going to quit. You're going to leave this place alive. You ain't going to die in here. They said for 3 days, Marcus Luttrell hitting grass, and nobody knew he was around. 150 Talibans walking through the grass, and he was there, had dead bodies over him for 3 days. He was the only survivor. When help came, he got to get some kind of signal where help could come and grab him out of where he was. They when they was writing the book, they said, tell us what was the one thing that you that encouraged you to stay alive. Was it seeing your brothers go down and you just wanted revenge? He said, no. That's not where it all started. He said, it all started with me surviving. Back on that beach. When they gave me the option to ring the bell or not, he said, in my mind, I wasn't going to ring that bell. He said, that's what gave me the drive to survive. He said, I wasn't going to quit for nothing. And that's why I'm still alive today. And Marcus Luttrell told him the story about how he chose not to ring that bell because he had a made-up mind. You know what we need? In churches, we need people with a made-up mind. I will tell you, I can't preach for nothing. I can't sing for nothing. But I'm going to do it till Jesus calls me home. And sometimes, I just all by myself, and I get a crowd all by myself, just me and Jesus, and I start singing. I can't sing, but I love to. You know, Romans 6 said, as ye yielded your members to the service of sin, now yield your members to the service of righteousness and holiness. Hey, if you and I, we did some stuff for the devil, how about in this day and age, since God saves us, we start doing things for God. So I just started saying, for Timothy, Paul had a message, preach Jesus and him crucified. That's what I saw the day I met him. Jesus was lifted up high.
no knowledge nor wealth did I have to offer, nothing but a sin sick soul. I just knew I was lost, and He was the answer, so I knew enough to get home. I know this. I know my Redeemer liveth. How you know? For He is living in me, and I feel the sweet Holy Spirit as we, His children, agree. He died for my sin, but He rose again, and He's coming to take us home. I may not know much by this world's standard, but I know enough to get home. I ought to quit right there, but I feel like James Brown. I feel good. Amen. I'm gonna keep on going. The mind of man is greater than ever. He rests in the knowledge he gains. But somewhere in time, he'll find it's for nothing. All his work is in vain. I like this. Without the cross, it's no happy ending, no hope to travel upon. But there's a trail of blood, straight and narrow. It's the road that leads us home. If you know, help me. I know my Redeemer liveth, for He is living in me. I feel the sweet Holy Spirit as we, His children, agree. He died for my sin, and He rose again, and He's coming to take us home. I may not know much by this world's standard, but I know enough to get home. I want to tell you something. I don't know much, but I know enough that I know. I know. Not somebody told me. I'm not a hoping or a wishing, but I know that I know that I'm saved and on my way to glory. I remember when I was lost, I was like that shoe right there. Dead, couldn't do nothing. But I got life inside of me. When I was dead, you tell that shoe to move. Hey, how about you move? How about you do something? It's dead, it can't. But when life, which is Jesus, got put on the inside, now the snake could go where Jesus wants to go. Now it could try to sing. It could try to preach. It could try to do something for God. Hey, because none of these things move me. There are going to be some things in your life and mine that's going to want to move us. But we're going to have to get a made up mind that none of these things are going to move us. Marcus Luttrell, I got me a little outline. A seal had a made up mind. Paul said, none of these things going to move me. A servant had a made up mind. We had a Savior. He had a made up mind. In the garden of Gethsemane, with sweat as great drops of blood, he said, Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. He went to the cross, but before he went to the cross in Pilate's house, they began to pluck his beard out. They took him out there, whipped him with the cat of nine tails. They said, well, you can see his organs, and they put him on the cross. And he said he went all the way, endured the shame, and even the death of the cross. He said, why our Savior didn't call 10,000 angels when he could to get them off the cross? Because in the garden, he had a made up mind. But I thank God he didn't call 10,000 angels. I thank God that he went all the way for a sinner such as me. For I'm still blessing his name for him going all the way.
He had a made up mind. The seal had a made up mind. The servant had a made up mind. The Savior had a made up mind. Tonight I want to be real. How many of you are here out of habit form? And already, maybe this sermon is just too late because you're already... quit a long time ago because somebody said something. Got your feelings hurt. Well, you don't sing like so-and-so. You don't preach like so-and-so. You don't pray like so-and-so. So you made up your mind. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, I will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Boy, it'll be a good day for you and I to get our mind made up. Don't matter what people say. People are going to talk whether you do something or not. I'm going to close with this. I tried playing TPR ball. I wasn't a good player. But man, I used to get up there and, you know, we couldn't practice on Wednesday nights. I had to go to games barely with any practice. Thank my mom and dad for that. But I stand up there like this. And I couldn't time the ball good enough. So, you know, for a couple games, about three of our games, the coach come up to me and said, hey, he said, I don't want you standing like there like a statue. He said, if you're going to go down, how about you go down swinging? Yeah. Just swing. Don't stand there. Swing. I want to tell you something. If you're going to heaven, don't just sit down. Go down swinging. Hasn't Jesus been the best friend you ever found? He's blessed me way more than I deserve. So I made up my mind. By the grace of God and the help of God, I want to stay in this fight. Pastor, you come.